Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvi navadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 1, Description of Goloka, the Eternal Abode of Krishna. Anucheda 113, page 45. The word Hari in the previous verse refers to Krishna, since it is said, It yuktas tam parikramya pranamya cha nripa parabhaktaha yayau madhuvanam punyam hares charana cha charchitam. Thus being taught, Dhruva circumambulated Narada and offered respects. He then went to pure Madhuvan, marked with the footprints of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.62. Since the pastimes took place during Swayambhuva Manvantara, at the beginning of the Padma Kalpa, Krishna's footprints, though he appears much later in Vaivasvata Manvantara, are there because Mathura is eternal. Footnote 32, Udriti, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakura. Because Krishna appears in every day of Brahma, Madhavan is marked with his footprints from the previous day. In the day of Brahma, Krishna appeared after Dhruva. Hari in this verse refers to Krishna, since his presence there is well known in Shruti. The place is marked with Krishna's footprints since he appears in every day of Brahma. Krishna lives there eternally. Since the deity of this 12-syllable mantra, Vishnu, was the object of his worship, that form of the Lord came there from elsewhere. Madhur Vanam Britya Didrikshaya Gataha. By means of Garuda, the Lord went to Madhavan with a desire to see his servant, Dhruva. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.1. So, it means it's Krishna's place, but because his mantra was that of worship of Vishnu, then Vishnu came from another place there. Maitreya spoke this verse. It means the Lord could appear in any form he wants there, but the point is that since Vrindavan's Krishna's place, therefore then he's there. And then other forms, they have their places, and so they come from their places, even though it's Krishna. Vriti, the next anucheda describes the glories of Vrindavan, the place where the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna are eternally performed when he appears on earth. Anucheda 114. Vrindavan is eternal. Punya bhata vrajabhuvo yad ayam nari linga gura purana purusho vana chitra malaya gaf palayan sahabala kva nayamscha venum tikri dayan chati giritra ramar chitang kri. How pious are the tracts of land in Vraja, for there the oldest person, distinguishing himself with human traits, wanders about enacting his many pastimes. Adorned with wonderfully variegated forest garlands, he whose feet are worshipped by Shiva and Lakshmi vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balaram. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.44.13. The women of Mathura, depending on Shrutis, they heard, which glorify Krishna and Vrindavan, glorify him, since they had not witnessed his Vrindavan pastimes. Anjati means he always plays as he had previously. Present tense is used even though he had left Vrindavan. By the mercy of Krishna, the women of Mathura became eloquent. the women of Mathura speak to each other. Sacha Vrindavana Guner Vasanta Iva Lakshitaha Yatraste Bhagavan Sakshad Ramena Saha Keshavaha. Nevertheless, summer manifested the qualities of spring. Such are the features of the land of Vrindavan, where Krishna, full of all qualities, killer of Keshi, plays eternally along with Balaram. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.18.3. Instead of saying where he played, the verse says where he plays, yatraste. This indicates that he remains there eternally. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. Riti. Next, the author cites verses from various scriptures which describe the glories of all three abodes of Lord Krishna's earthly pastimes together. Anucheta 1.15. All three places are eternal. Jayati jana nivaso devaki janmavado yaduvara parishat sver dorbhir asyan nadharman stira chara vijarina khana su smita sri mukena vrajapura vanitanam vardhayan kama devam. Krishna is the ultimate resort of all entities and is also known as the son of Devaki and Jashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.48. He who has the best of the Yadus as his associates, Yaduvara Parishat, who is famous for being born from Devaki, or whom, about whom there are many talks, curious to know the truth. This Krishna remains at all times with excellence, Jayati. The word Jayati also suggests that he is proclaimed as the chief person in the Yadu assembly by red-turbaned announcers. The word Yaduvara also includes Nanda and his brothers in Braja, since it is well known that they also arose from the Yadu dynasty. Madhavacharya quotes Brahma's statement, Tasmai vara samaya sannisrishta sachasa nandaka na sachasa nandakya utsahya barya namna jashoda sacha surata tata sutasya vaishya prabhavasya gopaha. I have given the boon to Nanda, whose wife was named Jashoda. She was a cowherd coming through Sura's father, Devamita, and a Vaishya mother. Bharata Tatparya. That's one of his commentaries.
Yes.
Nanda was a cowherd whose father was born from a Vaishya mother, a co-wife of Sura's father. Thus, Nanda and Vasudev, Sura's sons, were brothers. Thus, without confusion, they are addressed as brothers by Sukadev, as in 10.5.20. Of course, this does not mean they are direct brothers. In Skanda Purana, Mathura Kanda, it is said, Rakshita Yadava, Yadavas Sarve, Indra Vrishti Nivar Ranat. All the Yadavas, Raja people, were protected because of prevention of Indra's reign. Yatra Bhishito Bhagavan Magnona Yadu Vairina. There the Lord was made the king by Indra, enemy of the Yadus. Yadavanam Hitarthaya Drito Girivaro Maya. I held up the mountain in order to benefit the Yadus, people of Raja. So that's also when you say Mathura includes Vrindavan, because the Yadavas, that means that's the area of the Yadavas. Present tense, jayati, is used instead of the imperative, jaya, since Krishna is eternally excellent, and since a blessing is not needed for Krishna. Jayati means he is glorious. Jaya is like may it be glorious. So, yeah. Or taking the statement as a blessing, the desire to bless him takes place at this time in this way because the blesser realizes the situation appropriate for reiterating his excellence. An example is, may the king who is so pious increase in prosperity. Patir Gatis Chandaka Vrishni Sattvatam. He is the protector and goal to be attained for the Andakas, Rishnis, and Yadus. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:4:20. This is meant as a blessing for the best of the Yadus as well. Right, so even if you want to take it as imperative, like that, but still, it's that somebody who's so glorious, there's still the desire to say something very nice about them since they're so glorious. Right, so it doesn't work. It's not a problem either way. If he is inclined to play eternally, why do they say he takes birth from Devaki? That'll be the question. That is explained. He is born in order to kill the group of demoniac kings by using his four arms. For that reason he appeared in the world. Or, what does he do when he is victorious? He destroys the sins of the world, Adharmam, by his devotees, Dorbihi, who exist in all three phases of time. Madhpakti yukto bhuvanam punati. A devotee thus fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14:24. For what purpose did he take birth from Devaki? He destroys samsara for all jivas by his birth. Stira chara vijirinakana. Nachaivam vishmaya karyo bhavata bhagavat yaje. Yogeshvare shvare krishne yata etad vimuchate. You should not be so astonished, since he is Bhagavan, unborn, the master of all masters, of mystic power, endowed with the complete manifestation of qualities, who liberates this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29:16. Udriti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Though this may be astonishing to others, it should not be astonishing for you, whom from the womb had knowledge of Krishna's greatness. Though he is a cowherd boy, he is Bhagavan. Although he is the son of Devaki, he is unborn, Aja. Though he dallies with the damsels of Braja, he is the lord of masters of yoga. For Krishna, the source of all avatars, there is nothing astonishing if he liberates all moving and non-moving entities. Yad etat, Sridhar Swami's commentary. Or etat vimuchate can also mean that he liberates not only those participating in the pastimes, but also others in this world who now show kama, sneha, as mentioned in the previous verse. So not only that those who are involved in the pastimes, but those who are absorbed in the pastimes, who have that affection for him, then they also get the benefit. Or how does he remain ever excellent, jayati? He remains excellent by destroying the suffering of the people of Vraja and Mathura, and all moving and non-moving beings there, which was caused by separation from his feet. The proof of his eternal pastimes is stated. He resides with his associates, Jana Nivasa. Jana means devotees, as in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29:13. He, as the Lord of everyone, remains in the devotees' hearts for having pastimes with them. The experience of the wise is the highest of all proofs. The proof of his eternal pastimes is the devotees. What does he do personally as the most excellent person? For the women of Braja and of the cities of Mathura and Dwarka, he always stimulates Vardayan, love personified, Kamadevam. The love in the women's hearts and the deity of love are expressed as non-different in order to show that the love for him is the highest attainment. Since their love, which produces a manifestation of Krishna internally, is non-material and is the height of bliss. Right? Because of their affection, Krishna is appearing in their hearts and they can see him directly. Right? In the Agamas, worship of Krishna is common, as kama is evident. Vanita means a woman, and extreme attachment, according to Nama Linganu Shasanam. The women of Vraja are mentioned first, since they are the most excellent. Devaki means Jashoda, just as Sudevi means Meru Devi. Dve namni nanda bhartyaya jashoda devakita cha ata shakyam abhut tasya devakya sauri jayaya. Nanda's wife has two names, Jashoda and Devaki. She had friendship with Devaki, wife of Vasudev. Thus the Lord performs pastimes eternally in the three abodes. It's interesting because you say, you know, say, no, if he's born of Devaki. Yes, he's born of Devaki. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. The next Anucheda proves that Vrindavana manifested in this world is non-different from the Goloka Vrindavana of the spiritual sky. Anucheda 116. It was said that Goloka is a... I was just thinking that when you're dealing with the... Like you're going through the... You're teaching Laghu Bhagavatamrita still, no?
Yeah.
And you're going through it, so many of these, you know, the concepts and points that are made will be... You don't take some serious time and attention and discussion about various angles to even be kind of like appreciated. Right, and so, but you find that when these things come up later, then they're just the natural support for a position that you once already accepted. Does that make sense? So, in other words, you know, why I'm bringing it up is that all these books, they're actually meant for a very high level of knowledge and appreciation and piety. But at the same time, as you study them and you don't have that, then by that process, you gradually gain it. You know. Does that make sense? You're like reading Brahma Samhita before and then reading it now, or reading these others, you know, after so many years, after so much study, they come up again, that nectar of devotion, then again. You know, they're just that one gets more and more accustomed to the principles that are being given in Krishna consciousness. So, in other words, all of the literatures, our literatures are meant, like Bhagavatam's meant for the Paramahamsa, that means all of our literatures are meant for Paramahamsa. Right? Gita is written, given so that someone who's not a Paramahamsa could come to that platform. You know, qualify. He'd know the basics by which then he could progress. But still, we see is that it's something that you can always go on studying. And so as you advance, it becomes more and more. It has more and more depth. So our literatures are all meant for the Paramahamsa, but then we still have to put it in some kind of progression so that we go up and we study and move forward. So then, you know, this acharyas have given this, you know, that you have the Bhagavad Gita, then Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then the acharyas' works are all going to be commentaries on these books. You know, so that makes sense. So it's understood that in the first years, that the understanding may not be very deep. Anything you gain, because Prabhupada says, like sugar, any place you taste it will be sweet, so it will be nice. One will always get that benefit. But as one progresses, one gets more and more appreciation. No? So one should not feel bad if it's not fully appreciated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's right. Those are all preliminary too. You know, so it's not that, okay, I've studied this and I'm at this level and then I'm at this level and at this level. When it's progressing, that is there. But the point is what could be gained from those literatures at the lower degrees is not how much that literature has to offer. You know what I'm saying? I'm studying, you know, Bhagavad Gita and getting the basic qualification, or I'm studying these books connected with Bhagavatam and getting, you know, a particular degree. But it's actually, as you go, you get more and more benefit. So one should never think, I know everything. Yeah. Sukadeva spoke thus the verse. Riti, the next Anucheda. Oh, didn't I just read that? No. Next Anucheda proves that Vrindavan manifests in this world non-different from the Goloka. Oh. We did?
Yes, Anucheda 16, 116.
I thought I stopped at...
No, so you just stop at Anucheda 116, you get the first line and stop.
Oh, okay. It is said that Goloka is a special manifestation of Vrindavan. It will be established that Goloka manifests for revealing pastimes not seen in the material world, i.e. it refers to the spiritual abode in the spiritual world. Since one does not see the word Goloka used for the abode of the Prakat pastimes, one hears of its slight difference from the Prakat pastimes. The difference in pastimes of the Prakat and Aprakat abodes will be shown later. This idea is explained by showing the manifestation of Goloka within Vrindavan on earth. Nandas tvatindriyam drishtva lokapala mahodayam krishne cha sanatim tesham gyantibhyo vishmito bravit. Nanda Maharaj had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet, and also to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respect to Krishna. Nanda described all this to his fellow cowherd men. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.10. Aitindriya means not seen previously. Lokapala means Varuna. Te chatushukya dhiyo rajan matva gopas tvam ishvaram apina svagatim sukshmam upa dasyad adishvaraha. Hearing about Krishna's pastimes of Varuna, the coward men considered that Krishna must be the Supreme Lord, and their minds, O King, were filled with eagerness. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his abode difficult to understand? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.11. Upadashyat should be upadashyati. He will have us attain his abode difficult to understand. Will he have us attain his abode? They wonder about this. Iti svanam sabhagavan Vigyaya Kila Dirik Swayam Sankalpa Sidyate Tesham Kripa Yaitad Achintaya. Because he sees everything, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing. Wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desires, the Lord thought as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.12. Udriti. Thus understanding the desires of his relatives, Svanam, Krishna, who had knowledge of all relations, knowledge of all realizations, the happiness of Brahman, of Vaikuntha and Brajabhumi, Akila Drik, began to think in order to fulfill their desires. Maybe put a dash, you know, after realization for the happiness of Brahman.
Okay.
And then after that, Akila Drik.
Brajabhumi?
Is Akila Drik?
Yeah.
Yeah. Though usually he covers or withdraws his majesty according to the degree of prema, in this case, by the inspiration of the Lila Shakti, he had knowledge of all his forms simultaneously. Krishna thought, though these coward men actually understand that Brahman and Vaikuntha are insignificant because of tasting sweetness of my prema, I will give them realization of Brahman and Vaikuntha happiness. in order to fulfill the desires they manifest, while they play the roles of unintelligent humans. Sardar Tatarshini 10:28-12. Jano vai loka etasmin avidyakama karma bihi. Ucha vachasu gatishu naveda svam gatim brahman. Krishna thought, my eternal associates, wandering in this world among people who take higher and lower bodies because of karma, desire and ignorance, do not know other things as their goal. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-13. Udriti, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. Okay, this is Krishna speaking. Though through lack of knowledge of their soul, avidya, through desires and through karma, my father and the inhabitants of Braja, Janaha, have become confused in this world, etasmin, about the higher deva forms with their great happiness and power, and lower man, animal, and bird forms with their distress and weakness. This confusion arises only because they think themselves ordinary people for the purpose of pastimes. In this role, they do not know their own exalted position of appearing in Braja, Swam Gatim, which is rarely achieved by others. When my father saw the opulence of Varuna, which is material, he then considered this Vrindavan to be lower than the planet of Varuna, even though it is the essence of Vaikuntha. Just like a foolish person on seeing an inferior pearl will be astonished at its form and luster, and think the valuable pearl to be inferior. Thus the coward men think themselves lower than Varuna, and think of liberation of Vaikuntha as higher than the great sweetness they taste in offering the love to me as their son. Liberation and Vaikuntha are both dependent on me. I am not dependent on them. But it is seen in some circumstances that I am dependent on prema. Though it is evident to all, they do not recognize it. Thus some people realize the happiness of Brahman and liberation. But Brahma Samhita says, this Brahman is the effulgence of my body, end quote. This Brahman is without limit, beyond Maya. I say in Gita, I am the basis of Brahman. Matsya says, my greatness is called the part of Brahman. Thus Brahman is my all-pervading, formless light, beyond a material perception. But I am also certainly present in various sweet forms, which are relished by senses anointed with prema. As for Vaikuntha, as the Padma Purana says, the area of Mathura is superior to Vaikuntha. Within Mathura is Vrindavan, the eternal abode of Krishna, which is not affected by even the final destruction of the material world. Thus, Gopal Tapani Upanishad says, of the seven cities on Bhur Loka, Gopalpuri is the very form of Brahman. Gopalpuri exists on this earth just as a lotus floats on a lake. Brihad Vamana Purana says, when the universe becomes invisible at the time of devastation, only the infinite, eternal, non-material Vaikuntha remains, spreading its rays of blissful Brahman. Thus, though Vrindavan is superior to both Brahman and Vaikuntha, the coward men desire to attain the experience of Mukti and Vaikuntha only because they had not seen them with their eyes. Krishna, therefore I will reveal these to them now directly. End quote. This verse cannot be translated as follows. The Vrajavasis wandered in various wombs higher and lower by ignorance, lust, and kama, do not know about liberation of Vaikuntha, which will be given by me. End quote. The inhabitants of Braja are nitya-siddhid, are in love with Krishna in various relationships of love, and are not affected by ignorance, lust, or karma. Bhagavatam says, those gopis who regard Krishna as their son could no longer be subject to the ignorance of material life. Brahma says, what can you give to these inhabitants of Braja, who do not accept a position of liberation or even Vaikuntha, even if you offer it? One should also see the logical explanations given after the killing of Putana. Sarartha Darshani 10:28-13. Jana means the people of Brahma, his own people, as in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-13. The devotees, Jana, desire only service to the Lord, giving up Shalokya, etc. If there is no service, Vina Matsevam. Oh, giving if there is no service means all these Salokya, Samipya, Sarshti, and Sarupya. If they don't, if they're not in connection with service, then the pure Vaishnavas give that up. It means the Brajavasis. Because it means even on the Vaikuntha planets, they give it up. It's just not discussed properly in present company. Nowadays, they talk about our goal is Sarupya. But no. The goal is devotional service. But you happen to want to do in that position, position of liberation of Salokya or Sarupya. But if you think just getting there and just being there, then what are you going to do? You're going to have a body that looks like Vishnu, and then you're going to walk around all day going, wow, hey, check this body out. You know, cutting profiles, and when people walk by, you're sitting there and, you know, flexing the muscles or something. You know how they have the ones up like this, and then they have to put the ones down? Because this one does the upper part, and these ones done the lower part. They could, with forearms, you could do both of them at once. You know, I mean, they would look good. You know, they'd win every competition. Right? So, they don't care. So there's no. So especially the Brajavasis aren't interested. So for them, being on the same planet means you can serve Krishna. Like that. Being an associate means you can serve. It's about the service. Swagatim, own abode, indicates that the Lord considers oneness of himself and the devotees in that place. These are the highest devotees. Tasman macharanam goshtam mannatam madparigraham. Gopaye swatma yogena soyam me vrata ahitaha. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my natural powers, for I am their shelter, I am their protector, and I am everything to them. I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:25-18. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Because this disturbance has been created by Indra, Tasmat, I will protect Vraja, Goshtam. Vraja is my home, Mat Saranam, and I am the master of the house, Mat Nata. It is the place where my father, brother, and dear ones live, Mat Parigraham. Not only will I protect these people from this disturbance, but I will protect all people, even at the time of Mahapralaya. To indicate this, Krishna says, I accepted this vow. Sardartha Darshani 10:25-18. The Lord says they are his family, parigraham, that they are his associates, shown by macharanam. They have taken shelter of him. He has made the vow to protect them. He shows compassion to the people of Braja and not to others. Swam gatim means they do not know me as their goal. Right. So attaining him is not their goal. Serving him is their goal. So that's the difference is there. That pure and alloyed means we attain the Lord, you know, then that's the goal. No, it's service to the Lord is the goal.
So. This is a very subtle point because, I mean, like you mentioned previously, for the immature mind, sometimes reading, you know, about Golo, Gokul, difference, non-difference, it's quite bewildering, actually. So what happened is that we were reading in Lagu Bhagavatamritam that there are 7 Vaikunthas within material world. And then, you know, there are unlimited Vaikunthas you know, beyond in the three quarters, in that sphere. And then there's, there's Shvetadvip, as it is described in Rama Samhita. And then there's, the brilliantly effulgent coral of the lotus. Mm-hmm. And then Radha and Madhava, and the Varanas and the whole thing. So before, it wasn't easy, but it was some kind of a picture which was more or less clear that we have Bom Lila, we have, out there, and we have Shvetadvip, which is, it was good. Then the Rupa Goswami added the description, which is actually from the Bhagavatam. We just didn't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. All the seven Vaikunthas. So, as you mentioned, the main concern, what we deal, when we deal with the questions, and it was raised again, that, now this is the conclusion. We have to avoid those seven Vaikunthas within the material universe, because we want to get out. We're not going there, because this is, this is not good for, this is, we don't know what it is, but we don't want to deal with that. We want that place, and what will happen there, it's secondary, but we have, this is the realization. Mm-hmm. So that, again, it's not a matter of consciousness, it's not a matter of service. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of locus, where is it? And if mm-hmm. if it's how I, imagine, mm-hmm. then it's good. And if not, I'm not going there. This was like the clear message, very loud. How can we avoid those? This was the, right. How we avoid those? Because we're not going there, we want to go long.
Yeah, no, that's nice. And yeah, so it's not even on Krishna as the goal. It's just his place as the goal.
Yeah, so look here.
Yeah, so it's not even. Yeah, but yeah, it's still connected with the Lord because it's the Lord's place. But unless you're doing service, then what's the point? So you're going to get there by service, and attaining that, you're going to continue that service. That's the uniqueness of devotional service, that the process is also the result, right? And the process maintains the result, and the result maintains the process. It doesn't change while other things change. Like Hiranyakashipu stands on his toes for a while, and then after he comes back to his palace to enjoy the benefits of that. No more standing on his toes. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, the absorption in Krishna, serving Krishna, that will continue. That doesn't change. So that becomes the uniqueness that is the mood of one, the whole spiritual world, and specifically Braja. That's interesting. We don't want to go. Yeah, so because of that also is why the discussion of the position of the jiva and that becomes very difficult. Because everything is seen in time and space. So they can't see the non-difference. So you can't actually discuss it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's just like someone who knows nothing about, let's say, numeracy. You can't discuss a numerical equation because they have no concept. Yeah. So that's the difficulty. But what to do?
Also, this concept, like here it is explained, and I read several times because it was mentioned recently. I read this 28th chapter. It's not a long chapter, the 10th Skanda Bhagavatam. And if we project our own position onto the Brijbasis, what it appears is that, what how they do it's all for fun. It's it's Lila Shakti carrying them as the pastime develops. So it's all Krishna's play with his eternal associates. But if we project, then what happens is that, see, they're in Vrindavan still, they have that doubt. You know, like, what is it? What is it, Brahman? What is it, Vaikuntha? So, means we have doubts, they have doubts. So it's some kind of unsatisfied situation. So Krishna gives them, he merges them actually into Brahman effulgence. And they feel good, but because there's no variety, you know, after some time he shifts them to Vaikuntha, which is a great opulence and wonder. And they have that experience, and then he shows them Golok, which is completely no different from Gokul.
Mm-hmm.
So they become, you know, jubilant and happy again and feel natural, just continue.
Mm-hmm.
Just continue the pastime. But then for us, it's not exactly clear why at all it takes place. Why would he do that? Why would they want that?
But
experience.
But it mentioned before that they thinking, I says wandering this, my eternal associates wandering in this world among people who take higher and lower bodies because of karma, desire, and ignorance, do not know other things as their goal. So they only know Krishna. So they know, what are all these things that they're all talking about? So because they talk about it as something very special, then they thought maybe it's something to know about. Because in the world, then, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are very, very much appreciated. You know, and then within that, then those who worship the Lord go to Vaikuntha, you know, as part of moksha, means the Vaishnava moksha. Right? Where was that one he said? Through lack of knowledge of this, so avidya, through desires, through karma, my father and the happiness of Braja have become confused in this world about the higher deva forms with their great happiness and power, and lower man, animal, birds with their forms of distress and weakness. This confusion arises only because they think themselves ordinary people for the purpose of human-like pastime. They just think they're ordinary, even though they're not. In this role, they do not know their own exalted positions of appearing in Braja Swamgatin, which is rarely achieved by others. You know, so you know, those around them are not on that platform, and they just act in that position because then it's a natural position for performing the pastimes with Krishna. Because for them, Krishna is the only focus. Yeah, so like you said, you're dealing with these subtleties that are there. We're working on just, you know, is it the material world or is it the spiritual world? But as you get in the material world, there's so many finities. So because it's a reflection, there's all these things in the spiritual. It's the original, so that gives the satisfaction. While here, the variety here, one necessitates having that variety, but still, even with the variety, one's not satisfied. You know? You do nothing, you want to do something. You do something, you want to do nothing. You know, one will never be satisfied. While in the spiritual world, then the variety there is different, unique situations in which you can express that affection for Krishna. And you want to continue doing that more and more, but there isn't a feeling of lack like there is here. Like here, it's something unfulfilled. There, it's been fulfilled, and it's so wonderful, you want to continue that fulfillment. Well, here you're unfulfilled, so you want to try something. You want to try a different variety that maybe that will make you fulfilled. On the spiritual world, the variety, each variety is fulfilling. And it just goes on tasting greater and greater. You know, it's just like, let's say there's a meal and there's 10 preparations and you take the first one, there's no taste. So you try the next one, hoping to find something with taste. So keep going through all 10 preparations. Then when there's no taste in all 10 of them, then one will become a Maya body. Right? Ah, food. Yeah, we don't need this food. You know, there's no taste. But in the spiritual world, all 10 are super excellent. So you taste one and it's amazing. You taste the next, it's also amazing. So like that, you just taste all. Because Krishna is the taste. On the material, we're not seeing Krishna. Even though he is the taste, we don't acknowledge that that's what the taste is. We think it's the dead matter itself that's giving the taste. You know, it's like electricity. You're saying, no, the machine itself works on its own. You know, because it has the levers here, and, you know, it has all those things in the there. You push the lever, that's why then all these things happen. It's a combination of the chemicals and just, you know, like, it's worked out by chance. It just happened to be on my, in the kitchen, on the counter. You know, there was, you know, something happened, a big bang, and then suddenly I had my house with all these things inside of it. And all that, and they won't acknowledge the electricity. So if you talk about the electricity and the generator and all these things and all the lines coming out, you know, all the avarnas, you know, like that, then people say, no, it's happening on its own.
It's just like you mentioned, because we're going, it's your progression in the course. It's not certain books, it's not easy to find the time where we place them. Mm-hmm. Because if it's too early, just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And if it's later during the course, it does make sense. But then we wish it could be earlier.
So you'd have the background.
So it's
So that's why then we're placing the books the way we're placing now, so you can see. You know, trying to get those technical understandings starting it earlier, because much of the time it's looked at, you know, by the modern concept of knowledge is the highest. Yeah, like that, is that these technical things will take that as a very high knowledge. But it's actually, no, it's having that attraction to Krishna and dedication to Krishna. That's higher knowledge. Like you see the Brajavasis, they're on the highest platform of knowledge. Because the Jnana Shakti is taking care, it's the situation. So therefore, the Dham, the forms, all these things are manifest from the Jnana Shakti. Right? And so then they're on the highest platform of manifestation of the Jnana Shakti. Right? And then the Kriya, the activities to please Krishna, that's the highest. The Icha, then pleasing Krishna on these levels, it's the highest. So the highest manifestation of Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini is there in Prash. But because it's human-like pastimes, it's not necessarily appreciated. Because we have human-like pastimes here. Then we have demigods above us, you know, so they're, you know, quite amazing in their opulence and powers and what they can do. Then you have Vaikuntha, which is also like Krishna's god. So then, you know, the associates there. Then Braja then goes back to, say, human-like pastimes. So it's the highest there, but it's the lowest here. Even within all the human forms within the universe, the humans here are considered, you know, just the simplest of them, right? Because on the rest of Bhumandala, all those on the other islands, they all have means on this. All the other Varshas, and then the other islands, you know, the other Varshas on Jambudvipa, and then the other islands, they all have greater powers. It's considered like a lower heavenly planets. You know, not the hellish regions. And then below that you have all the Rakshasas and everybody else and the Nagas, and now they have more powers like that. And then Indra and all them. So, you know, so it's just what we see around here. But the advantage is here, then you can see about God consciousness because it's balanced. Because otherwise, when one has too much facility, one tends to forget the Lord. So that's why it's so rare that Yudhishthira Maharaj, having the influence and facility that he has, and he maintains such a balanced vision. Karna considers him a Brahmin. He says he's not a Kshatriya, because, you know, what Kshatriya could have that mentality in the position and authority that Yudhishthira's in? So on the battlefield, he won't fight with him, because he considers him a Brahmin. So he says, you know, you don't fight with Brahmins. So it's just so rare. Because you see Duryodhana, now he's your, you know, archetypical, you know, power hungry, you know, Kshatriya. You know. We're on that Tasmat Mats Charanam. Okay. Tasman Mats Charanam Goshtam Man Nata Mat Pari Graham Gopaye Swatma Yogena Soyam Me Vrata Ahita. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my natural powers, for I am their shelter, I am their protector, and I am everything to them. I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. No, we already did this. I have accepted this vow. He's the master of the house. Yes, the Lord says that they are his family, Pari Graham. They are his associates, is shown by much charanam. They have taken shelter of him. He has made the vow to protect them. He shows compassion to the people of Raja, not to others. Swamgatim means they do not know me as their goal. The two words do not indicate two different objects. That abode was difficult to understand, sukshmam. In either case, it indicates seeing his abode. Since it refers to his abode, the word jana does not refer to people in general who do not have him as their goal, but to the people of Braja. Udriti, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The same sphere shines as Goloka and Gokula respectively by its upper or transcendental and lower or mundane situation. Sri Sanatana Goswami has told us as follows in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which embodies the final essence of all books of instruction. Quote, he displays his pastimes here in this land as he used to do in Goloka. The difference between the two planes lies only in their location as high and low. That is, in other words, Krishna plays exactly the same part in Goloka as he exhibits on the mundane plane of Gokula. There is practically no difference between Gokula and Goloka, save that this what exists in the shape of Goloka in the upper region is the same as Gokula on the mundane plane, when Krishna showed his various activities there. Sri Jiva Goswami has also inculcated the same in the Bhagavad Sandarbha of his six treatises. To ascertain the plane of Goloka Vrindavan is the eternal abode of Krishna, and Goloka and Vrindavan are identically one. And though both are identical, Krishna's inconceivable energy has made Goloka the acme of the spiritual realm. And Gokula of Mathura province, forming a part of the mundane plane, which is also a manifestation of tri-quadrantal vibhuti, conducting majesty. Right? So even though it's manifest here on the material plane, it's also part of the tripada bhuti. It's not ekapada. So it is the spiritual world. It just happens to be situated here, but it's part of the spiritual world. That we take it if it's here, it has to be made of here. But it's the spiritual world is just manifest here. So it's non-different. Poor human understanding cannot possibly make out how the extensive triquadrantal, which is beyond human comprehension, can be accommodated in the limited nether material universe of a uniquadrantal disclosure. Gokula is a spiritual plane. Hence his condescended position in the region of material space, time, etc., is in no way restricted but unlimitedly manifest with his full boundless propriety. But conditioned souls are apt to assert a material conception in regard to Gokula by their miserable senses so as to bring him below the level of their intellect. Because we always want to be, we feel confident, if with my intellect I can control it, I feel comfortable, right? Because then I know, you know, because the position of knowledge is also there with the position of envy, right? You know, so that envy and attachment. So the thing is that knowledge is one, the other is the senses, the mind, and all this kind of thing. So I have to be able to bring things within the context of my mind and my intelligence. So unless my mind wants to enjoy it, it's useless. And unless my intelligence can comprehend of it, then I can't feel safe. Right? Because gain and safety. So safety means I can understand it. In that way I control it. Or the mind, I appreciate it, so therefore I could, you know, interact with it and get the benefit. Whether I do or not is another thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was thinking also that for some people, knowledge in itself is a value. Mm. But if we, look closely, then for most, knowledge is used in the support of existence.
Mm-hmm.
Because existence is the most important, survival for the living entities here in the material world.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, this is also one of the things that is so difficult to catch, that but actual purpose of knowledge is in support of ananda, or pastimes of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
This is natural. But then either we take it, isolated as it is, just knowledge itself, jnana,
mm-hmm.
and play with it,
mm-hmm.
or always in support of sat, or existence, which is for us the most important, but actually it's for ananda. That's why we tend to go into that direction always, not seeing like it is explained here, because it's mathematically impossible to squeeze three quarters into one quarter. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if we see it in support of the Lila Shakti, then it's not a problem. Like Krishna opens the mouth and everything is there, and then, it's okay.
Yeah. Yes, that limited can be in the limited sphere.
Yeah.
But the fun part is, as long as it's accepted that it's not real, then we're happy to accept it.
Yeah.
It's like, let's say you have, some mystic or something like that, so like a cartoon like this. And so it's not real. You know it's not real.
Yeah.
So, but they have, it looks from the outside like this little cottage or the guy with the handbag. But you can open the handbag and go inside and it's this huge, huge place with inside. No end of how big it is. Then it's okay. But if you say, no, that's real, there is a place like that. No.
Yeah.
But I will accept that. I will guide my life by that. I will quote that. I will make goals based on that. But if you say it's real, then I'll forget it and I can't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sadness of, you know, the material condition. Is the cheaters and the cheated. They want to be cheated, therefore then they accept that. When you give them the real thing, then they say no. So the mind is just like that. It's limited. But we have that sense, I want to be able to control it. So that's why then there's the thing of that, oh, if I'm a PhD, then I have the knowledge, then I know everything, then I can control, then everything you give me, I know automatically. And if I don't understand it, it can't be real. That's basically they're trained. You know, in other words, the pride of the academy is inculcated into the postgraduates within the academy. Right? If you're an undergraduate, because you associate with those postgraduates, you kind of take on the flavor. But you don't get fully trained in it until, you know, so before it's like, below that, no, the academy is better. But once you get to postgraduate, no, you are better.
Yeah. Becomes personal again.
Yeah. Yes, it becomes personal.
Yeah. Like no person, then, you know, academy represents that principle, and then personal again.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And it's that I'm special, and technically I'm more special than all the other specials.
Yeah,
so that's very interesting like that. Right, here. But conditioned souls are apt to assert a material conception in regard to Gokula by their miserable senses so as to bring him below the level of their intellect. Right, they don't bring it down to the intellect. No, they want to bring it below their intellect so that they can control and everything. So whatever they can come up with, that must be the way it is. Though the eye of an observer is impeded by a cloud when gazing at the sun, and though the tiny cloud can never really cover the sun, still the clouded vision apparently observes the sun as covered by the cloud. In just the same way, the conditioned souls with their obscured intelligence, senses, and decisions accept Gokula as a piece of measurable land. We can see Gokula from Goloka, which is eternal. This is also a mystery. The attainment of final beatitude is the success in attaining one's eternal self. The success in identifying the true self is finally achieved when the screen of gross and subtle coils of conditioned souls is removed by the sweet will of Krishna. However, the idea of Goloka is seen to differ from Gokula till the success in unalloyed devotion is achieved. So until you come to this unalloyed devotion, you may tend to see them as different. But otherwise, when you come to that position of unalloyed devotion, you see them as the same. Like you said, we can see Gokula from Goloka, which is eternal. So they can see the other.
Who's
Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur.
Brahma.
Oh,
yeah, Brahma Samhita.
Which verse?
5.2.
Oh, okay.
However, the idea of Goloka is seen to differ from Gokula till the success in unalloyed devotion is achieved. The transcendental plane of infinite spiritual manifestation, having thousands of petals and corolla like that of a lotus, is Gokula, the eternal abode of Krishna. Brahma Samhita 5.2 purport. Right, so the thousands of petals and corolla. So you see is that the petals are all the different situations, the corollas are all the associates, and then you have in the middle is, and the whirl is Radha and Krishna. Mm. Right. Among those who have high or low bodies as devatas or animal by ignorance, etc., who are mistaken about their goal, the cowherds, because they identify with common people, do not know my abode. The error that they make is only by the Leela Shakti of the Lord. For increasing the rasa of pastimes, since they have the highest prema, it has nothing to do with ignorance. Right? Yeah, so it's not to do with ignorance. Though, as that reflects into the material world, then we see the Leela Shakti then becomes the source of ignorance here. There it's the Jnana Shakti, right? But here it's the Avidya Shakti. Does that make sense? You have Shri, Bhu, and Neela.
Yeah.
So Neela is also known as Leela.
Leela, right.
because she arranges the whole scene, because we're talking about the place. Because past means you're going to, means you arrange a situation. Then there's going to be the pastime that takes place in that situation.
Yeah.
Then there's going to be the taste gained by, you know, or experienced during that pastime. Right? So controlling everything, that everything works out in a certain way, that, you know, that you're walking along and who you bump into and all that. That's all done by Lila Shakti.
Yeah.
So here, then that just means it's all done with the Avidya Shakti. You know.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking also when, you know, we became in contact with your preaching, then it really throws people off when they want to discuss, you know, the spiritual world. Then you always ask, okay, then how do you define spiritual world? Is it Golok? Is it the Bhagavatam? Is it described in the Bhagavatam? Is it spiritual world? Do you consider it as a spiritual world? And then, you know, people have to say yes. But then, you know, 90% of their argument is already gone by that definition.
Yes.
Because so they're highly uncomfortable by that moment already. And then if they, you know, dare to continue, then there's a comparison of non-difference. Difference but non-difference. So
yes.
We don't see discussed in many other places because it's...
Yeah, because it's because of the time and space. We're conditioned to the time and space. We tend to think like that. And so, as Bhaktisiddhanta says, what Thakur is saying, we want to see that things are accommodated within our intelligence and mind. So if I hear it, I don't understand it, I will try to accommodate it in what I do understand. So I'll find something within the samskaras of what I understand, the impressions, my intelligence, and that. I'll try to compare it to that. Then I can relate to it.
Yeah.
Because if I can't relate to something, then what's the relation? Am I secure? Am I going to get benefit? That's why Krishna says, give up this desire for gain and safety. Because then you can just surrender to Krishna and then take care of Krishna. Then you can understand. But as long as you want gain and safety, that means everything has to be under your intelligence and mind. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, because the mind is going to be the gain, the intelligence is going to be the safety. Because I am that, I know who I am, I know what things are. I know how they work, so therefore I feel safe. No? You know, it's just like the airplane, you know, someone falls out of the airplane, right? And so they start screaming and this and that until the airplane and them hit the ground and they all die. Because there is nothing within their intelligence to work with that. Right? But by training, then somebody else falls out of the airplane, he tries to get back into the airplane, and getting back into the airplane, then he pulls up on the lever, and then, you know, he flies off. Because his fear of intelligence includes this. No?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is that we will always reduce it down to whatever our level, like it says, below the level of their intellect. So it's not that I'm willing to go up. I will go with my intelligence as far as I can. If it still doesn't reach, I must bring that down into my context.
Yeah.
So rather than just surrender to the Lord, I don't understand, so therefore surrender. And then Krishna will reveal is that I don't surrender, I bring it down into mind, and because therefore it's within that category. Then I have to speak with my identity and my you know, my perspective and possibly false ego on the point. And then I can't leave the point because then I lose my identity. But if my identity is I'm servant of Krishna, what's to lose? But if I think, oh, I'm a super intelligent person, you know, I'm better than most, if I can't understand it, now where do I stand? Especially if others in the room understand. And I know academically they're less than me. You know, being clever, they're less than me. But they understand, so that means, no, I have to present. and they can't tolerate that. That's why much of the time you see those who are very, it means someone has an academic background, that's not, you know, as we know, is in no way a problem for taking up Krishna consciousness. Right? Because you just engage whatever you know and that in Krishna service. But if your identity is so strong that I am an academic, I'm an intelligent person, they may have many difficulties in Krishna consciousness, because the whole point is, you know, the sages, Krishna, the sages, you know, the Shastras, even just common persons are more intelligent than we are. We have to remember this. The Shastras, even though it may be talking about a Shudra, you know, the Shudra is in Satya, Dvaita, Dwapara. You know, it's just like, what's his name? Vidura is the Shudra. You know. And so he knows way more than we do. So we're uncomfortable with that because we think, no, I have to be. So I have to bring everything within the context of the Kali Yuga and my sphere. You know, it says equality is up here. So I like the concept of equality, but I have to bring it down to my level of what is equality. You know, I like the concept of justice, but I have to bring it down to my level. You know, yes, we take prasad, but I bring it down to my level. You know, behavior and all that, Vaishnavic, I bring it down to my level. Because I have to work within the realm of my material intellect because of my attachment to it. But if one is humble, then one can understand, because then Krishna will reveal. Yeah.
Yes, also in the Sangha, the same principle that, you know, when it's like an open forum like we have, then sometimes people want to bring the discussion down on their level, and they actually demand that it should be like that. And if you say no, it the discussion itself is on that level, because we discuss Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, then, you know, there's a conflict, and, you know, the energy drops, and it is a tendency of the conditioned living entity, when something is not understood, or they feel, like you mentioned, they feel insecure, they try to bring it down just to, you know, then it's regular for them, so they feel secure and comfortable. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, highly uncomfortable.
Yeah, but the same time is because they're uncomfortable, they're not comfortable until they've made everybody else uncomfortable. Then that makes them
then
they feel comfortable.
On the same level.
Yeah. When everybody else is experiencing their uncomfortable position, they feel comfortable.
Comfortable, yeah.
Yeah. No. And they feel it's their right. Yeah. You know? It's just like because they exist, it's their right.
Yeah, especially I've noticed that the elderly.
I say, what is it? I doubt, therefore I am.
Elderly people are like that.
Yeah, because that's just their identity. You know, they've developed. So it's just a matter of then, you know, just somehow or another continually finding those things that they can relate to, or examples that they relate to, or something that they can relate to include, if possible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as we have to see, is you can't lose the whole assembly because one person who doesn't agree, because the point is that there's not necessarily any advantage to try to gear the conversation for that one individual, because there's every possibility that one individual still won't have the understanding or faith.
Yeah.
So why would you lose a whole room full of people that are appreciating over one person that at this point in their devotional service, or at least today and right now, they can't? Maybe tomorrow they will be able to, but today they can't. So if you're sitting on a bus or a train or a plane and next to the guy and you got 6 hours, then hey, go for it. You know? And generally after 3 hours, things are okay.
Yeah, like Srila Prabhupada said, you can teach him all dogs new tricks.
Yeah.
People are too stiff, they just can't.
Yeah, because it's an identity. They don't want to be seen as... Because on the material platform, if there is culture, then they're elderly, they're respected.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to lose that position. You know, at the same time as, you know, nowadays, who respects anybody? The error that they make is only by the Lila Shakti of the Lord, means his external associates, for increasing the loss of pastime, since they have the highest prema. It has nothing to do with ignorance. Iti Nandadayo Gopa Krishna Rama Katamura Kuravanto Rama Manascha Navinam Bhava Vedanam. In this way, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram and played with them. They never perceived material tribulations. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.58. Yad dhamarta sudit priyatma tanaya pranashayas tvat krite. O Lord, what can you give to the people of Vraja whose houses, possessions, friends, dear ones, bodies, sons, life, heirs, and hearts are dedicated only to you? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.35. By his desire, this illusion lasted a few moments. And by showing them his abode, which is most remarkable, the illusion would dissipate. The astonishing nature of the abode will be explained. So even if it's only a few moments, however long it is, it's just that movement is there. So, you know, it's like Narad Muni, I think he asked Krishna, what is material life? You know, and he saw him go down to the river, you know, and fill up this pot with water. So in the time it took for the pot to fill with water, he saw his whole life as a materialist go before his eyes, you know. And then that was it, you know. Just in a moment. So, since Krishna is the Lord of time, it's not limited by. No.
Yeah, this is also, we found basically useless discussion when devotees try to understand from a position of no time and space, we go into. You know, Ekapada Vibhuti, and then there's heavy influence of time and space, and then going back into position of no time and space.
Mm-hmm.
So in there, because there's no material time and space, you can't really understand what was that when it happened within time and space. So the speculation, I mean, from this position everything is clear,
mm-hmm.
but from here it's not at all. That's why we struggle, and you know, from different viewpoints we try to discuss this or that, and it comes to the same, you know, misgiving basically.
Mm-hmm.
But from that position there's no problem. Nobody experiences that kind of problem, but here we deal with all those.
Yeah, so when it comes up, then it's dealt with, and when it's not, then
yeah,
don't bring it up. You know, unless you want it. Yeah. And by his desire, this illusion lasted a few moments, and by showing him his abode, which is most remarkable, the illusion would dissipate. The astonishing nature of the abode would be explained. Iti sanchintya bhagavan maha karuniko harihi. darshayam asa lokam swam gopanam tamasaf param. Thus, deeply considering the situation, the All-Merciful Supreme Lord revealed to the coward men his abode, Goloka, which is beyond Prakriti, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.14. So there in Gokul, so he can reveal Golok. It's the same place, but, you know, they'll have that feeling that it's... Swam Lokam Gopanam means Goloka, the place of the Gopas. For it is said, Gopi, Gopair, Ashankyatai Saravatas Samalankritam. He is ornamented completely with unlimited gopis and cowherds. Mrityu Sanjaya Tanta. Padna Padma Kriti Purodvari Laksha Mandala Naika Ramadayas Tu Gopalas Chatur Dikshu Maheshwara. In four directions at the gate of the city, shaped like a lotus, there are hundreds of thousands of gopis, cowherds like Balaram, and elderly cowherds, Narada Pancharatra. The place beyond Prakriti with great powers is described as well in Brahma Samhita, which is Tamani Prakara Sadmashu. That place is beyond Prakriti, Tamasa Param. That place, free of matter, does not mix with matter. The next verse describes its spiritual nature. Satyam jnanam anantam yad brahma jyoti sanatanam yad di pasyati munayo guna paye samahita. Krishna revealed the place which is existence, knowledge, infinity, eternity, and self-effulgence. Sages see that place in trance, when their consciousness is freed of the modes of material nature. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.15. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Satyam means all-pervading. Jnanam means non-material. Anantam means without limit. Sanatanam means nitya lila, nitya siddha. This place, the jnanis, munaha, who transcend the gunas, see in samadhi. Though the Vrindavan seen by the people situated on earth also has the same nature, as it is Brahmananda Sarup, its extreme sweetness only is revealed, not its Aishwarya aspect. Because of the covering Maya while being situated within the material world, Maya is like a clay vessel hiding the light of a lamp, Brahma Jyoti, within it. Thus Krishna showed the Brahma Jyoti, which is beyond the material world, not that manifested within this earth planet. The form of Bhagavan, however, is much more sweet than the Brahma Swarup. This is confirmed by the realization of Atma Ramas, such as Sukadeva. Though the form of Bhagavan is also all-pervading, it appeared limited in a form of medium size, though free from the six transformations. It appears to undergo birth, maturity, and decline, and though free from the faults of disturbance, etc., he seems to undergo hunger and thirst, sweat, fear, illusion, and to receive blows in battle. This is because he is unlimitedly because he has unlimited inconceivable energies. Similarly, Vrindavan, like the body of the Lord, which spreads itself through millions of universes, as seen by Brahma, is also limited. The Lord says, this Vrindavana spread over five yojana is like my body. Right? So even though it's unlimited, it still is within five yojanas. But within that, it's unlimited. But it'll be within five. You know, for our measurement, it's 40 miles. Right? But but inside, in the Lord's pastimes, it's unlimited. And though devoid of material disturbance, according to the scriptures, and such statements as, one should remember the moving and non-moving residence of Vrindavan, which is free from the six disturbances, end quote. It is the astonishing shelter of men, animals, birds, and trees, which have hunger, thirst, birth, old age, want, and disillusion. Sardarta Darshani 10.28.15. So even though it has all that, it's free from that, those things appear to be manifest, even though they're not there. That place is Brahman, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Sages free of matter see it. Krishna showed them that place, Goloka, with inherent knowledge and bliss by a manifestation of the action of his Swarup Shakti. Similarly, Vaikuntha is shown to be non-different from Brahman in Padma Purana, quoted in Bhagavad Sandarbha. Right, so it's interesting here, it says, by the action of his Swarup Shakti. Well, in the previous verse it said, by his Leela Shakti. Yeah. So that's the point. Swarup Shakti means and includes all Samdha, Sandhi, Vladi, these aspects. You know, or Jnana, Kriya, and Egypt. You know, Swarup means all of that together. And then whichever is needed, then that's what gets done. What are we doing on time? Then it is said, Tetu Brahma Radam Nita Magha Krishnena Chodrita Dadrishur Brahmano Lokam Yatra Kruro Yagatpura. Krishna brought the coward men to Brahmaharada, made them enter the water, and then lifted them up from it. Where Akrura would see Vaikuntha soon, the coward men saw Goloka. Yeah, so Akrura would see in the same place Vaikuntha, but the Vrajvasis saw Goloka. 10:28:16. Udriti Shula Vishnu Chakrapati Thakur. Krishna gave them realization of Brahman, in which there is no particular awareness, as if immersing them in a lake, Hradam. He then pulled them out of that realization by his remarkable powers and let them see Vaikuntha, Lokam. This is stated in the second canto of Bhagavatam, 2.7.31. He let them see the Goloka in Vaikuntha. As the materialist is taken from the lake of matter to realization of Brahman, so the cowermen were taken from the lake of Brahman realization to the realization of Vaikuntha. Krishna delivered them from the dangerous, destructive Sayuja to the blissful Vaikuntha. Realization of Vaikuntha from Prema, the realization of Vaikuntha with Prema is superior to the realization of happiness of Brahman with no Prema. But superior to the realization of happiness in Vaikuntha with Prema is the realization of happiness in Gokula with Prema. To this Vaikuntha previously, Akrura had gone. Or in this Vaikuntha previously, Akrura saw his Lord. Previously indicates that it was previous to the conversation between Sukadeva and Pariket, although in the narrative it occurs later. Right, so previous, because they're discussing after, so I said previously, but you see is that in the flow of the pastimes it'll be later.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.